Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Thanksgiving Eve service. We'll start with a song. So if you want to, wow, I'm nice and loud here. We'll turn to number 433, Now Thank We All Our God. And let's stand and sing 433.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven. The one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Let us pray. Father, it's so easy to thank you. For what do we not thank you? We have so much in our individual lives, in our family lives, in our church lives, even in our nation, to be grateful for. And to know that every good and perfect gift comes from the bountiful, loving hands of our Father. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you give us your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that all that we say this evening, all that we sing, even all we think, will be pleasing and give him glory. In whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good evening, church. Well, it's fitting and right that the people of God should come together for Thanksgiving, for it is those things that the Lord has given us, and among those things, he has given us a church family that we ought to be most thankful for. As he's given us our church family, he's given us salvation in Jesus Christ. And so as we gather to think about those things, I pray that our time together might help us do that, not only tonight, but as we gather tomorrow with family and friends around the table, that we might remember those things that are most important of all as we give thanks. I'm going to share with you just a short devotion as we think about Thanksgiving from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to share from verses 16 through 18. These are verses that are likely familiar to you. You may not know, you may not have known where they came from, but you know them, you've heard them. You may even have memorized them at some point. As we turn to These are verses that are challenging to us. There, Paul, again in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, admonishes us to do the following. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As I get older, I am finding that my arms are too short. Now, you understand, if you know what that means, that that's not a statement about arms at all. And for some of you, that statement needs no explanation, but if you're lost here, I want to help you. That explains the humbling reality of being farsighted. As you get older, like me, you have to hold things further and further away from your face in order to see them or read them. For those of you, again, with good vision, those who are farsighted have to move things away. Just the other day, I humbled myself and raised the font settings on my phone. And though I don't necessarily want to say that that's officially old, it is officially not young, for sure. And so, larger font Bibles, sermon notes with larger script are all a part of my life now. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But struggling with eyesight can be frustrating. But adjusting one's life to get things back in focus is helpful. It takes some of the worry and some of the adjusting away. And it makes life a little bit more comfortable when we do that. But spiritually speaking, we often need to do the very same thing. When we read passages like the one before us, we can often view them out of focus. We can often view them out of focus. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to get our focus back on the right things, to be able to see things the way that we should according to the scripture, according to the word of God. When we read passages like the one before us, we can often view them out of focus. We can read them with the wrong set of lenses and misunderstand the point of the text and the application of the text in our lives. Now, of course, you know that there's nothing wrong with the text itself. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is inerrant. There's no error in the scripture. The error isn't with the text itself. The error is with the reader of the text. It's with you and I. The error is with our faulty vision. Often when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, we read it as an impossible task. We huff at these things. We read, rejoice always, and we think in the back of our mind, seriously? Rejoice always? Pray without ceasing? Seriously? Give thanks in all circumstances? All circumstances? We think. After all, we live real lives. We have times of misery and despair. We find ourselves so often weeping instead of rejoicing. And indeed, oftentimes, just finding it easier to do that. We're too distracted to pray. And if we're honest, we're not always thankful for the things that befall us in our lives. But to read the text that way is to read the text the wrong way. Not with eyes of faith. It's to read it not with the eyes of faith. It is to see in this scripture only with the vision of a sinner and not with the sight of a saint. And so what I want to do is to read this text again. And I want to insert a phrase into it. Not that it makes the text better because it's perfect. But I think to sort of put the eyes of, to read it and put the eyes of faith on when we read the text, so that we can understand this text better. This is what Paul is telling you to do in this text. Rejoice always in the Lord. Pray to the Lord without ceasing. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul helps us to see our lives in the context of what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in the world. He helps us to see the hardships of life and the things that happen to us as a part of God's good providence and not the way we so often want to see them in our spiritual depression. We think about the people that he wrote this to. He wrote this to the Thessalonians. Now, if you were to gather all of the Thessalonian church and gather all of our church and have a competition between the two churches, and the competition would be who's suffering the most, the Thessalonians would win the competition of suffering hands down. And yet they are the ones who are told, rejoice always in the Lord. Pray to the Lord without ceasing. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. And so when we come to this, we ought to know that if he told them, then he tells us too. He tells us three things, very easy to see. But I want to talk quickly about these three things before we give testimony to the goodness of our God to us. He tells us, first of all, to rejoice always in the Lord. Rejoicing always in the Lord is not putting on a happy face. It's not pretending that things that are bad aren't actually bad. That's not what rejoicing in the Lord means. It isn't circumstantial. Instead, rejoicing always in the Lord is rejoicing that whatever trials we face, they will ultimately serve for God's glory and our ultimate good. Rejoicing in the Lord is rejoicing in the final triumph of Jesus Christ over all of our pains and sorrows in this life. It's living in the reality of Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4, which tells us, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Rejoicing always is saying yes to that promise. Even in the midst of this world that's falling apart, even in the midst of our lives that contain difficulty and sorrow. And what this means is that in the pain of life, we can rejoice in the fact that we have a God who will one day remove the sorrow, and that he will bind up every single piece of our broken hearts. And so let us be thankful and rejoice in our redemption. Again, Paul is writing this to people who are suffering persecution. Some have undoubtedly lost their employment. Some are undoubtedly worried about real physical persecution. And yet in the face of that, Paul says, rejoice always. They're to rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to satisfy their hearts. That the Lord Jesus will redeem every single part of their lives for their good and his glory. And so I say to you tonight, church, rejoice. Rejoice. Also, we're told to pray to the Lord without ceasing. You know, of all the impossible tasks that we're asked to do, this one just about takes the cake, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but I can't even think about praying without ceasing when it comes to prayer so often. My mind drifts off into 10,000 directions. So how can Paul tell us to pray to the Lord without ceasing? Well, Jesus gives us a parable that helps us in understanding this in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gave a parable of a persistent widow. Verses 1 through 8, The text says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought, listen to what it says, ought always to pray and not lose heart. Pray without ceasing. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Here we find that the widow appeals to the judge over and over and over again. She exasperates the judge. The judge is tired of seeing this widow. And he grants her wishes because she's bothering him. Jesus uses her as an illustration of what it looks like to pray to the Lord without ceasing. But what is being said there has more to do with a way of life than it does than a simple act of prayer. What you see in the widow is a life's disposition. She has one goal, to gain justice over her adversary. That's her goal in life. According to Jesus, she evidently isn't bothering with a lot of other things. Her one goal is to find justice over her adversary. Her life is shaped around the attainment of this goal. She doesn't bother herself with taking justice into her own hands. She doesn't seem to spend too much energy on anything else. But she instead appeals to the judge. F.F. Bruce explains that to pray without ceasing does not mean that every other activity must be dropped for the sake of prayer, but that every activity must be carried on in a spirit of prayer, which is the spontaneous outcome of a sense of God's presence. Praying without ceasing is a disposition of life, where we as God's people put ourselves in the pathway of his blessing. And we ask and we trust that he will move. And so as we gather this evening, let us express thanks in prayerful reliance upon our God. And finally, we're commanded to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. Now, while praying without ceasing seemed to take the cake, giving thanks to the Lord in all circumstances seems utterly impossible. When we bother to think about the things that one must endure in life, we can sometimes even see that command as unfair. But to do so is to misunderstand what we're being asked to do. It's important for us to understand that we aren't merely to give thanks for things in our life like cancer. We aren't giving thanks for things in our life like divorce. We're not giving thanks for the things in our life like the loss of a job, though the Spirit may lead you, in fact, to do this very thing. Instead, we are to give thanks to the Lord in the midst of the circumstance. When we give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, what we are doing is making a statement that we believe in the goodness of our God. That in spite of our circumstances, we believe that God is both good and sovereign. When we give thanks in all circumstances, what we are doing is we are making a personal confession to the world. As a church, we have a confession. It's the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's lengthy, and it is detailed, and it is powerful. But when we give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances, we give a personal confession that we believe that God is both good in all his ways and he is sovereign. Just last week, we sang the song, Be Still My Soul. Actually, this last Lord's Day, which expresses this sentiment in profound ways. There the hymnist wrote, Be still my soul, for God is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. Who through all changes, faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. And because he does, we ought to give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so, church, rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. For in all of this, we give thanks for the victory of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to now give you an opportunity to rise and give thanks where you are, just by giving testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord and giving thanks for the blessings of the Lord on your life. We're going to have two opportunities for testimony, and Jake has the microphone, and he's going to come around and allow you to speak into that microphone to share what the Lord has done in your life over the course of this last year, and just to share with the body what you are thankful for. We're going to have a few testimonies. We're going to have another song and another time of testimonies, and we'll have a song and then close in prayer. And so, who would like to go first? Jake, if you would stand up and go to whoever would like to go first.
I don't need a mic.
Well, we have some who can't be here, and that was a specific request. So you don't, but...
This is just marvelous that my wife and I were both healed of COVID by the Lord the last couple of weeks, and we're 100% healthy, and it's a blessing.
Amen.
I'm very thankful for the Lord in my life to get me through this path and this new journey. I'm very thankful that the Lord has given me this church, that our prayer warriors, and not just my church, but also my school and other friends who are dear Christians who are praying for me and my family. But this church is such a support to our family and to me. Not just with food and prayer, but just when I get little texts and little Facebook messages, it's very humbling too. So I thank the Lord for this church.
So this year, you all know my dad passed away, and he was 91, so, you know, it was okay, but I'm thankful because God saved him back in 1870. So we saw his life as not a Christian, but then we saw his life as a Christian, and we also saw his life at the end of it, and he was staying with me, so I had the advantage of hearing the music late at night, you know, and he said, I don't want to bother you because we had a nursery monitor, you know. And I said, that's okay. I said, it feels like when we were young and we would travel at night and he and Mom would have the radio on. And I said, it was actually comforting to me, you know, to hear that music like that. But if we had to pick how it all would work out, because, you know, he was living in West Virginia, and for him to come back for 6 months for us to all be able to enjoy, and he could enjoy us. But I'm just thankful that God made it just as good as it possibly could have been.
Amen. Anyone else? Curtis, won't you come?
You return to your hymnals, number 436. 436, come you people, come you thankful people, come. Let's stand on this one.
Come ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storm begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, praise the song of harvest home. We ourselves are God's own field, proud unto his praise to yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall purge away all that does offend that day. Give his angels charge at last in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his storehouse evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come, bring your final harvest home. Gather thou your people in, free from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified, in your presence to abide. Angel, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
Please be seated.
Anyone else desire to give testimony to the Lord's goodness and faithfulness to you over this past year?
My name's Carol King, and my husband Richard and I have been coming to the church a little over a year, and we've been led to come here through God, and we are just so privileged and so thankful for the true word of God that we hear each and every Sunday and for the fellowship that we have within this church. So thank you, Lord.
Others?
I have a couple things that I'm grateful for at the moment. One is my wife Kelly. You know, she's had her stint with cancer and some other complications that have come along with that. And I've had a couple surgeries in the last year, which is new for me. I'm just to have a partner that the Lord has designed for you. Is a blessed thing, and I think a lot of folks know me, and we get along all right, but living with me is probably a different thing, and I think the Lord has given Kelly the constitution for that, and I'm grateful, really, for that. The other thing I was struck by, actually, this evening is we're hearing from 1 Thessalonians, and that I'm thankful for, is that admonition from the Lord's word to give thanks in all circumstances. Earlier this day, we had some plumbing problems. There was dripping coming from the house, and turns out it was a bathroom upstairs, and that, my day changed to address that. And I can explain if you want, but I ended up in the attic on a plank, you know, and it was not comfortable, and I'm breathing things in and coughing and sitting on my side and hollering down through this little hole at the kids to go get this and that, and I just was not thankful in that circumstance. It may come as a shock to you, but I was not, and but I also understand that the Lord is sovereign, and He uses these things for our sanctification, to bless other people, you know, for lessons that we and others who are observing us either come through it victoriously or get trampled by a trial and need to repent, you know, all these things. The Lord uses it in many, many ways. And I can remember the first occasion when He struck me with that verse. It was in college playing soccer, and we had lost a game, and my soccer coach, and who was also my Bible professor, always encouraged us with the word, and that was the word that He brought to us after that loss that we were taking, you know, on the chin, and, you know, did everything to give thanks, even when what we had been striving for, you know, we failed in our own eyes with that, and we trust in the Lord's goodness and His sovereignty, even when how He's good and what He's bringing out of it just remains a mystery to us. So grateful for the reminder of those things from the Word tonight.
Just so the rest of you know, Casey's got to be out of here at around 8 so he can go to Home Depot. So. Anyone else?
I would just like to say I praise God so much for this church, but also just the, like, men and women that He's put in, like, responsibility over my life, especially in this church. And I just know that Pastor Casey and Pastor Jason and just all of the session, they put so much time and effort to making sure that they are leading our entire church biblically. And they have jobs that I do not, like, envy in any way, shape, or form, and I just really appreciate God putting those people in our lives to make sure that our church is doing everything it can to glorify God and worship Him and be with His people. So.
Chris, you want to come and lead us again?
You want to turn your handles again to number 429? Your bulletin has a different number, but 429 is the one we want for the beauty of the earth. And let's stand as we close our service.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For your church that evermore lifted holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For yourself to our race so freely give, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Let's pray. And Lord, having sung to you in grateful praise, we pray to you in grateful praise. Oh Lord, we have so much to thank you for. We thank you for this body that has been faithful to your word throughout the years. Father, it is an oasis to our souls. We thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the saints of God that you have knit together in the bond of peace and love and fellowship. Father, we thank you for how you feed us through our elders and through wise fathers and mothers in the faith. We thank you, O God, for the foundation of your word. We thank you, O God, for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, in all circumstances, because you are good and your will is good for your people. So help us, O God, especially as we gather tomorrow to give thanks, but help us to rejoice as we do so. Help us to pray as we do so, and help us to do it all for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose matchless name we pray. Amen. Go in peace, church.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis.